It's been a great offseason for the Sacramento Kings by all accounts. That always makes me nervous to say that because nobody's played yet. But on paper, I'm praying here. It's been a great offseason for the Kings, and they continue to add talent, this time in the front office. And joining us right now, newest member of the Sacramento Kings. That's only going to last for so long. I can only give him this title
for
so long. The assistant general manager of the Kings, Brandon Williams. Brandon, thank you so much for joining us. It's Dave and Katie. How are you this morning?
Dave and Katie, good to see you. Good to meet you, I guess. I can't wait to see you.
Well, we're excited. We're excited for you. You know what?
I'm fired up too.
While people like me and others, the thought of holding down two jobs is difficult, or having more than one thing to pay attention to, I have a little fact sheet on you. Is it true? You were an associate VP with the league office, and while you were doing that, you got your law degree from Rutgers. Multitasking does not seem to be unfamiliar to you.
Not unfamiliar, but definitely not easy. I wouldn't recommend it. I think I interviewed earlier this weekend, and that was the time I thought I was crazy. But it's all about goal setting, and I knew this was something I wanted to do. Lots of folks talk about it. I just tried to put a plan in motion. Painful, but glad it delivered me to the Kings.
Brandon, what about the Kings opening in the front office was intriguing to you?
Well, you know, in our business, Katie, you know, in basketball, it's just an old business, so there aren't many things that change, and certainly change quickly. It's very difficult to be a part of something that feels new and feels like a startup. You go into lots of organizations, things are pretty rigid or can be rigid, and I just found that to be different here. Just the ideas, the newness of the staff, the newness of the building and the facilities, and I think sort of a renewed energy. Things have been tough for a while. I'm certainly familiar with that. But out-of-the-box thinking is just refreshing, and I was looking forward to this new chapter and challenge.
Brandon Williams with us. Brandon, it says one of the tasks that will be a part of your job is player development, of many tasks you'll be doing. I often like asking this question, and I often get different answers. How would you define player development?
Well, you know, there's certainly a way to see it both on and off the court. I think under the my umbrella, as we've discussed in the last two or three days, it's evolving. But under my umbrella, I think it's both on and off the court. I'm looking forward to working with some charismatic, energetic guys. I'm really looking forward to getting to know Peja, I think, who's been charged with sort of personnel and development. You got a young group. I don't know that you draw the line between what happens at night and what happens in the day. The way that they approach and carry their evening will certainly affect the way they carry themselves and approach their practice and so forth. So it's an ongoing mentorship. It's development of their mindset, their professionalism, and for sure their bodies. It's interesting when you talk to a lot of young guys, particularly in the interview process, the Chicago Combine, and when we bring players in for pre-draft workouts. You know, so the word brand is thrown around, like everybody's thinking about a brand. You know, who they're going to be, what they'll look like, and you know, Twitter, so forth, their social media footprint. Like, you know, dude, it doesn't matter if you can't hoop. You got to be able to hoop. If you can play, if you really can play, and you make people fall in love with your game, so many other things open up. When you get their attention that way, it's like, so we're not good enough today. We're just not. You know, we're young, we're inexperienced, you only got 10, 15, 30 college games under your belt. But what do we do every day to get better? I think that's as much mental as it is physical. So that's, you know, probably the long-winded way of explaining player development, but I think it's moving guys, moving the needle for guys so that, they're more impactful in this profession.
Brandon, over the past decade, there hasn't been a lot of love nationally in the media for the Kings, and there's been a lot of criticisms and things of that nature, but the way that they executed the draft this offseason, as well as the free agents that they signed, nationally they got so much love, and that is such a change of pace for Kings fans and people that cover this team. You were in Philly when all of this was going down. Watching from the periphery, what were you thinking about kind of the way that Sacramento attacked both free agency and the draft?
Well, I mean, during a rebuild, there are lots of ways to move the field, ball downfield, I guess, you know, another, you know, metaphor. But it took us longer in Philly, and I think we went about it in a slower, more methodical way. I really love what happened this offseason, because you started to see young players blended with veterans. You know, it took us a while, you know, in Philly to do that. To get there, I should say, but the opportunity to add high quality character individuals who still have juice, which is really important, who still play. Young players will listen, but they also need to see. And I think that's what's so exciting. You know, anybody that watches the game and knows how difficult a rebuild can be, when do you get to that point? And are you attractive enough for those guys to choose you? Because, you know, at this level of his, you know, of his career, the stage of his career, Vince Carter can pick several places. I mean, he can certainly pick retirement. There's no need for him to waste time in a place where he can't be successful. And to choose Sacramento, it's a heck of a recruitment, but it's also, I think, a feather in the organization's cap when you meet in the middle, when guys of that caliber want to be a part of what you're doing. So it got my attention very much. I would bet I've not talked to Vince or any of the other veterans yet, but I would bet there's some commonalities in the way that we saw this young, exciting group, and glad to be a part of it.
New assistant GM Brandon Williams joining us on KHDK. In reading on your background and learning about you, two things that stood out to me is, number one, when you were with the league office, there was an article that noted that you would spend time in David Stern's office picking his brain. Also, coming from Philadelphia, my question for you is, what did you learn from David Stern, and what did you learn working with Sam Hinkie?
Well, I guess starting with David, it was being prepared for all things at all times. You talk about multitasking as a human being that's got a unique and uncanny ability to keep many things in focus. Watching him, if you think about just the constituents, whether it's owners, you know, general managers or coaches, who all are focused on winning, but have, you know, different vantage points, being able to work a room of all three of those people, forget the players for a second. It's amazing. For the financial responsibility, you know, the sort of, I guess you'd call managers, the main mentors, the drivers, the disciplinarians. There's so many things to sort of keeping an organization on track and organized, pushing and moving, coaches and so forth. And then there's sort of the kind of frantic nature of coaching, which is, you know, generally tends to be shorter sighted. It's about next game. How do we prepare for next game? And after a game, being so hung up on the things that didn't happen, that the referees' calls and so forth, that it was really a juggle of, he just had a great ability to work rooms and work calls. And I was often a fly on the wall. You know, as a young person, you don't get to talk much. You know, you don't get to say much. But being in the room and learning, his relationship across players, as much as it seems contentious with the lockouts and so forth, there were regularly players that would come and visit who respected him and just respected the office and you know, in effect, the rest of us, and get to see what those real relationships were like. You know, gradually, I think he put me in a position, because I went to him and said, look, I wasn't a great player. I'm really proud of what I did as a player. Certainly spent all my life chasing this, but I know that I can't rely on 20,000 points scored, right, in order to get the next level opportunity. What can I do to, you know, enhance my profile? And it started with putting me in the right places, whether it was business, whether it was a legal team, and taking trade calls and understanding how that all worked. And then I grew fascinated, and I knew I needed to go to law school. So I owe that to David and the executive team for supporting me. And when the opportunity came up in Philly, again, it was startup. I was attracted to a lot of that, you know, new CEO and GM and head coach and new D-League team. And so it I think, perfectly aligned with where I was as a, you know, kind of budding executive with sort of a mod podge of skills. We just see how we could apply them. And Sam's very methodical. He's very deliberate in decision making. You know, it's funny that the process comes about not because we knew it was a slogan, but, you know, always focused on the steps and not the result. If we take the right steps, if we think and we're reasonable and we collaborate, we should arrive at good decisions. And so there, you know, was born the process, focus on the process and not the result. And I think, you know, while I certainly won't be echoing that here because it's become so famous in another space, I want us to think forward. I do know that those are wise words, and I think it's very applicable here.
A couple of things that we wrap up with Brandon Williams, newest assistant general manager of the Kings. A quote that really stood out to me from you, and I'll read it. I was told by a couple of OG general managers when I first started in the league, there were three main types of executives: the cap type, the personnel type, and the operations rule guy. I'm trying to master all three. I'm paraphrasing there. On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you at in your development when it comes to those three types of general managers and what you're trying to master?
You know, it's funny that you say that. The short answer is I think I spent a great deal of time. I'm probably the best operationally, to be fair. That's where I'm going to be strongest because it's where I got the depth of experience starting in the league office. There's so many things that you learn before you get a chance to actually apply it. I felt super prepared. The next was, you know, I walked into a space and call it first the D-League, the G-League now, and I had never traded or acquired a player. I certainly know talent because I played and I felt like I knew what it was I liked. I started to put myself in a position like, what if I were a player? So, you know, pull back and this is not fantasy. What if I were a player? What kind of guys would I want around that I could trust? Because when you really boil it down, it's like a 5-on-5 pickup, you know, in inner city Detroit or wherever. And who do I trust to win some games today? The thing is, we just want to do it for a long time. The personnel sort of came easiest next because it was, you know, sort of my first language, just basketball. You have to develop a database of knowledge on this set of players, this draft, last draft, started to map, why did that happen last year? What notes do we have that might give us a head start on what deal we might make this year? So there are lots of things that came by way of my knowledge and experience on the floor. Then I say cat, and you know, for all those, you know, sort of OG general managers that I talk to, I think the reason why it's so hard to master all three is because it's hard to be in all three spaces. Yep. At once. I think that might be Moby Dick, or like, you know, the unicorn that we can all chase and makes us want to get better. So, you know, no pretense that, you know, we get some guru that's, you know, will sit in all three chairs. That's not true. But my willingness to sit with guys and be patient through a lot of that learning, I think, has made me better. On a really good team, on a really good staff, you've got to have what I'd say a savant, you know, in the cap space. And if you've ever watched, I've been around a couple, it is very much a beautiful mind to watch some of the things that will happen on a whiteboard, just creating possibilities, many things that will never, that never come to fruition. It's never about what gets done. It's all the things you thought about and tried. And I think that's something that I experienced quite a bit in Philly. So if I had to put them in order, since you're making me twist in my arm, you know, we go ops, personnel and cap. But the good news is, you know, through transition and you know, losing people getting promoted, at one time or another at this level, you have to sit in a chair for at least a little bit. So I'll bring a good bit of experience to the group.
We appreciate you being willing to chop it up with us a bit. Looking forward to the season. Yeah. I'm sure you've figured it out already, but, you know, anyone that can bring success or help bring success to this ball club and to the city, these fans are so hungry for it. I believe they're the best in the NBA, and we're very, very excited. And I think these fans, Brandon, are very intelligent. They're very patient, obviously. Good luck to you and the team, and let's hope we have a fantastic year this year.
I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to wearing purple.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brandon. Take care.
Thank you.
All right.